He says, under the new covenant, don't let sexual immorality be found among my children, not one time. We don't listen very well, do we? I mean, we don't listen well. The church is so afflicted and eat up with sexual immorality today. There are so many men, women, children, pastors are having sex with their secretaries. Unbelievable. What's going on in the church? But God said in His Word, hey, I'm going to tell you what I did to David. Now then, because you had sex with that woman that you wasn't married to, and I'd given you a whole house full of wives. It's not if you did like you didn't have a beautiful woman. I'd give you a house full. David probably had 12 wives at this time. And all of them was legal for him. He could go in and have sex with any one of them he wanted to, anytime he wanted to, because he was married to all of those women. God had given him all those women. But what does he do? Goes and gets one he ain't married to. Is he stupid? Absolutely, he's stupid. But every man that does that, is he stupid? Yes, he's absolutely stupid. He does not know that he says, and he says there clearly, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and I will give them unto your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wife in the sight of the sun. In other words, on the street corners, on the housetops. Your wife's going to go outside to go to town, and your neighbor's going to come out and grab her and rape her right there on the street for everybody to see. And who was behind all that? That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? That's tough, isn't it, girl? But is that what's written? That ought to make us want to straighten our act up, right? For you did this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And God's behind this. I mean, that's the way I read this. Does anybody understand this any different than what I'm teaching you? Is that what it says, brother? Okay, so, verse 13, 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Now, if God don't put away our sin, what's going to happen to us? We're going to die. So I think it's best to not sin, don't you? I mean, I hate to have to come and ask the Lord to forgive me for sin. I know I have to once in a while. It's unfortunate that we sin. We shouldn't. But he says here that he has forgiven David also. And he says, because I put away your sin, you shall not die. But he says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Isn't that something? The baby don't have a chance. He ain't never done nothing wrong, but he ain't going to make it. The Lord spoke this curse. Is that what he said? The child's going to die. Okay, verse 15, 16. And Nathan departed into his house, and the who? And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. I've had preachers in church tell me, Thurman, God would never afflict a child. But all I got to say, that's not what's written in the Bible. Right there, who afflicted that little child?
Lord.
The Lord did. Is that what it said, brother? Is that really what it said? Unfortunately, that's what it said, isn't it? And so who do we have to fear? The Lord. Yeah, don't worry about the devil. Forget about the devil. You only got one God that you have to be afraid of, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings, and He will judge your sin. But He says under the new covenant, if you judge your own sin, then He won't have to judge it. When you judge your own sin, that means you put it away. You quit doing it, and you ask His forgiveness, and under the new covenant, will He be merciful and forgive you? That's good news, isn't it? Oh, that's really good news. Praise God. I love that. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth, fasting and praying, seeking God to please God, don't kill my baby. But let's see what verse 17 and 18 says. And the elders of the house rose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? The little thing suffered for 7 days, and he was stricken by who? In other words, it didn't say he was stricken by the devil, did it? It said the Lord did that. So this just one you and me need to be afraid of, right, brother? And that's God. Absolutely. He is the one that we have to fear. If we obey him, the blessings are out of this world. Everybody loves that. When God promises to bless everything we put our hands to, I'll bless you with good health and long life and prosperity and everything you put your hands. Hey, that's great. I love it. But you say, but now let's go down to the beer hall and have some drinks and let's look at them pretty girls down there.
No more.
Oh.
No
more. You don't like being sick, right?
No, sir.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We have to obey, don't we?
Amen. That's right.
So the next guy comes on and said, hey, brother, God promised to bless our socks off. Let's go to church and worship and praise him today. Isn't it amazing what happens when a guy really gets saved? It totally changes his life, doesn't it? Yes, and we love being well. Now then, let's go to Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. Now, we're going to go in detail into Job deeper today than I have ever went into Job. So we're going to do all this in the NLT. We're going to do all this in the NLT. I have this question asked me so many times everywhere I go. What about Job? He was perfect. He didn't sin and he was sick. Well, today I'm going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Job was a sinner. And I'm going to show you that God said he was very proud of Job for what he had done in the Job 1, 2, and 3. He was very, especially chapters 1 and 2, God was very happy with Job. But still, Job was a sinner. So this will show us that God can be merciful to us, and he's not quite as critical with us as we might be with our own selves. Because we'll see where at the beginning, lots of people read Job 1 and 2. And that's all they ever read. They never read the next verse all the way out to chapter 42. But today we're going to cover a whole bunch of this book. And we're going to talk about things you may never have heard. So to start off with, we're going to Job 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to start with verse 1. We're going to hit every verse in the first three chapters of the book of Job. There was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. Now, does that sound good so far? Does he sound like he was a pretty good guy? I would only hope that we could meet the same criteria, and at least God would have that to say about you and me, don't you think? That's what God was. He was kind of proud of Job. He lived in the land. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. Now, if you meet that same criteria, God's going to do a whole lot more for you, and we're going to see what God had done for Job. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, you see, he was blessed. Him and his wife had 10 beautiful children, 7 boys to help on the farm and 3 girls to help mama in the house. You know, so, I mean, that's a blessing, right? And they're all healthy and beautiful. Verse 3 and 4. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and he employed many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Now, would you like to be blessed like that? Wouldn't that be awesome? So if God sees you like that, he don't have a problem giving you all kinds of physical blessings, because he did that to Job. Every year when Job's sons had birthdays, they invited their brothers and sisters to join them for a celebration. On these occasions, they would get together to eat and to drink. Okay, verse 5 and 6. When these celebrations ended, and sometimes they lasted several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. Now, wait a minute. I've got a question here. Job is confessing the sins of his children. Somebody said, I never heard of such a thing. How can he do this? Well, somebody said, you know, we can't do that today. Oh, yes, you can. The Lord even gave us a better promise in John 20:23. John 20:23, the king clearly said, Jesus talking, he said, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now that's a pretty awesome promise, isn't it? You mean to tell me you think that you can forgive somebody's sins? Well, Job did it under the old covenant. He went and sacrificed to God and stood in the gap for his children. But under the new covenant, you have a greater privilege. Because who lives in you? Christ. This is a mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Since he lives in us, we are his ambassadors. And today, you can remit people's sins. You can get people healed. I have been to many a hospital and prayed over somebody that was comatose. They couldn't remit their sin. They were drawing near death's door. And I remitted their sins in the name of Jesus. I forgave their sins. I stood on the scriptures just exactly like the Lord told me to do. And then I prayed the prayer of faith for them just like the Lord told me to do. And I've seen many people get well. Many people. But then after they get well, you go to them, tell them, hey, you had a sin in your life. That's what put you there. You need to stop sinning. Because if you don't go tell them, they're not going to know that their sin is what put them there in the first place. And guess what they're going to do as soon as they get out of the hospital? Go right back to that sin. And when they go back to that sin, guess what that's going to do to them? Going to put them right back in that hospital. And so they need to be told, stay away from sin. But most people, they don't even know that. He said, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan the accuser came with them. You know, that boy, he's around. You know, he's always been around. We don't hear him too much, but in the book of Job, we do hear about Satan. Okay, verse 7 and 8. Where have you come from, the Lord asked Satan. And you notice that God wasn't afraid of Satan? Isn't that amazing? He's just as calm with Satan. Who made Satan? God did. I mean, he made everything, both visible and everything that's made was made by him and for him and for his glory. And there's not anything that exists. Satan wasn't an afterthought. God made him in the beginning.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Job Was a Sinner, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.